There we go. Here at Evangel, over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at something called the Jesus Way. If you could switch up. Yeah, thank you. The Jesus Way. Talking about what does it mean to walk the path that Jesus called us to walk. Not following the religion of Christianity, but following Christ. Today we're looking at this sacrifice, God's secret weapon. So in Ephesians 1, starting in verse 7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." The details of how the salvation of humanity was going to be accomplished was kept a mystery. That word was in that scripture we just read. Was kept a mystery until the fullness of time for a reason. God wasn't figuring it out as he went along. He had a very definite and intentional plan to break the power of sin and to bring humans back into his family. We're told in 1 Peter 1, verse 20, it says that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb that was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. In Revelation 13, 8, it says that Jesus is the lamb slain before the creation of the world. In God's mind, in God's perspective, it was a done deal. Before creation even happened, Jesus died on that cross for us. So if this plan was in place throughout all of history, why the mystery and secrecy? The idea of sacrifice was woven into the entire story of God's salvation plan. All through the Old Testament, from God's killing of an animal to clothe naked Adam and Eve, to the sacrifice of Cain and offerings of Cain and Abel, to Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac, to the Passover in Egypt, to the temple sacrifices in Leviticus, all of these and so much more throughout the Old Testament pointed forward to the sacrificial death of Christ for us. And yet, it was hidden. It was mystery. It was shrouded in the Old Testament. The rabbis and teachers of the law completely missed the Messiah because they were only looking for a victorious king. Jesus' own disciples, even though Jesus told them on at least three occasions that he was going to die, they had no clue what was going on. In spite of the fact that they knew and understood to some extent the entire Old Testament. The first time the mystery was revealed was in that long walk on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus opened the minds and hearts of two disciples and showed them in all of the Old Testament, helped them to understand the mystery of what had taken place, the mystery of what was there all along, that the Messiah had to die and then enter into his glory. The Messiah and God's plan was in the Old Testament concealed and in the New Testament revealed. But again, I ask, why the secrecy? In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 8, Paul says, regarding the message about salvation through the cross of Christ, we do not, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So Paul is saying everything about the cross is contrary to the wisdom of this world and the demonic powers behind the world's system. They can't wrap their minds around why God would sacrifice himself on the cross. It makes no sense to their wisdom. But Paul says, no. Instead, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, these demonic powers had rebelled against God. They had deceived humans and convinced them to join them in their rebellion. And the only path to victory in that these powers understood was greed and power and violence. And they had prepared a ground assault against God. But God didn't meet them on the battlefield. He'd prepared an air assault. The kingdoms of this world are shaped after the mindsets of the evil powers behind them. They are run on the same principles of greed and power and violence. And there have been times when in the history of the church has bought into those lies, right? But God battled through love, humility, and sacrifice. Love, humility, and sacrifice. The enemy meant for the death of the Holy One to be the end of God's plan and didn't understand that the greater wisdom that made the world, the wisdom that triumphs and trumps the wisdom of this world, runs on totally different principles than the wisdom of this world. Love and sacrifice are ultimately more powerful than greed and violence. That Jesus willingly went like a lamb to the slaughter instead of fighting back on the enemy's terms undermined the whole purpose and plan that the enemy had for his death. Sacrifice won the victory. And when Jesus died, the enemy, I can just imagine it. When Jesus died, the enemy must have said, "It is finished." And then he heard the voice from the cross say, "It is finished." And him going, "What did I miss?" Right? "What did I miss? He pulled one over on me." Right? The thing is, those kingdom principles, sacrifice is the victory. And those kingdom principles still work today. still work today. Why did Jesus say that whoever wants to follow him must take up their cross and follow him? Right? Because the Jesus way is a way of sacrifice. Because we actually are victorious through laying down our lives. When we choose God's way, not my way, when we let our selfish passions and desires and plans and agendas die for the sake of what God wants for us, that sacrifice brings life. When we choose not to self-protect and choose not to return violence for violence, hatred for hatred, judgment for judgment, but we choose a path of personal sacrifice, laying down my rights, laying down my life for the sake of others. When we do that, we don't lose, we win. We win. It doesn't make sense by the world's wisdom, but it is the wisdom of God and his kingdom. There is a reason that the enemy threw everything that he had at the early church for the first 300 years. And at the end of 300 years, half of the Roman Empire were followers of Jesus. Right? There is a reason why in 1959, there were 10 million Christians in China. And when Mao Zedong began his harsh and brutal persecution of the church, fast forward to the opening of the bamboo curtain, the Chinese version of the Iron Curtain, and the world got to see what was going on in China. There were 100 million Christians in China. The church had grown tenfold instead of being crushed under the persecution of the Chinese government. You and I are called to a life, ladies and gentlemen and young people, we are called to a life of sacrifice. To take up our cross and follow Jesus, because that is the only path to resurrection victory. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body, in our body, the death of the Lord Jesus, that the life of the Lord Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who are who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So when you are persecuted, hated, slandered, attacked, robbed, rather than becoming defensive and attacking back and behaving like the mindset of the world in hateful or hurtful ways, love, serve, smile, rejoice. Because God is working on you and in you a victory that you cannot see. And sacrifice is indeed God's secret weapon. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the wisdom of God, for the wisdom that created the universe and that created it to function by your values and your principles. God, we recognize that we often and regularly rebel against those principles and do things the world's way. But God, right now, we repent of that. We ask forgiveness. We recognize that Jesus laid down his life for us and did it to conquer the schemes and the plans and the deceit and the rebellion of the enemy and to bring about our victory. Jesus, you have invited us to walk a path of victorious sacrifice. May we have the courage to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah. Pastor Doug is going to come and lead us, I think, now in communion.
Sharing communion with you this morning. And before we begin, I just want to share some important things to consider. Jesus said, "Come to me and partake." When we come to partake of this table, what it is that he wants us to remember. Luke 22, verse 14 to 15 says, "When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus opened up the Passover Seder, or the Jewish meal, to be more than a religious observance. It became a communion table in which he invited his disciples partake of his fullness and life. It was here the truth of our salvation, prefigured in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, would be fulfilled. The Passover was a reminder when the Hebrews were slaves to Egypt, and how after God had sent 10 plagues among Egypt, the final step was that God instructed the Hebrews to take a lamb without defect and kill it. Place its blood on the top and the bottom of the door frame. And when the death angel passed over, the blood was a sign of covering and protection. So as he broke the unleavened Passover bread and took the cup with him, he reinterpreted the practice that had been going on for centuries, applying it to himself. And Jesus was becoming the ultimate peace act, or sacrificial lamb. Consider this: in all the New Testament Gospels where Jesus is introducing this practice, it begins by saying, "And he gave thanks." In Revelation 12, we are prompted to remember Jesus has conquered the power of the enemy. What the Lord is telling us when we come to his table is we are to celebrate that through the cross, Jesus has given us victory over the adversary. We are called to remember him because he's conquered all the powers of hell. Can anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
That ought to be the spirit of our approach to the Lord's table in remembrance of the victory Jesus has accomplished for us. At the Lord's table, we don't believe the bread becomes meat or the cup turns into blood. Jesus made clear he was talking about a spiritual reality, not a physical one. Yet neither are we saying that these are just a piece of bread and a cup of juice. Jesus said there is a working of the Spirit of God that will happen in your life when you partake. measure of the Holy Spirit power will cause his life to nourish you. If you come in receptiveness and understanding, we partake in the recognition that we are dependent upon this life. Flow to us and among us as believers. We need the Lord and we need each other. Yes. Amen. It's one thing to receive Jesus as Savior, to become a believer, and another thing to grow into a believer who is learning. That's the definition of a disciple, and it relates to being shaped and accepting disciplines. God's word says, let a man or woman examine themselves. Why? Because Jesus wants you to have a periodic review with him. Did I just cut out?
No.
Jesus wants you to have a periodic review with him to see how your life with him is coming along. There's no more appropriate time to do it than when we celebrate communion. Because if we judge ourselves, he says, we won't be judged. But if we don't correct ourselves, God will. So how do we do that? First, confess before the Lord your sin, weakness, doubt, or fear. And come before him and speak your heart. Finally, the Lord calls us to his table to receive his provision. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29 says, has often been a source of confusion, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment. King James Version says, damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, we need to sell something here right now. Who is worthy to come to the Lord's table? None of us. None of us. Nobody. It's all because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And just as Jesus, with fervent desire, called his disciples to come to the Passover feast, so he calls us to come to his table. We are called to celebrate his victory over the powers of darkness, proclaim his redemptive work in our lives, declare our dependence upon him and one another, examine ourselves that we might grow as his disciples, and receive every blessing that his sacrifice for us has provided. Amen. So when you and I come to feast at the Lord's table, there are great truths for us to celebrate. It's as Jesus is saying, I want you to remember. Every time you take the bread and drink from the cup, that when my blood was shed for you, it was shed once for all to cover all your sin so that you never need to live under condemnation. Never forget that when you partake of this bread, like Israel getting miracle manna in the wilderness, there is nourishment for your life. Jesus is saying, I have forgiven you. And I will enable you with strength for every day. Don't forget, when you're sick and afflicted, you need not go on with suffering, for I am your healer. If you feel plagued by sin, remember that through my cross, I abolished the power of all principalities and powers and made an open spectacle of them. And so, as we come to the table this morning, I want us to come with rejoicing and praise.
above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you were.
doesn't say for mankind, it says was broken for you. God loves you so much. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me. As often as you drink it, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let us pray.
Pastor Doug. Awesome. Well, let's get on our feet. We'll celebrate with a song of praise and thanks. There is power in the blood.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since for a cleansing to Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working in the blood of the Lamb.
is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I don't have to turn it on. It's so nice to join together. Amen?
Amen.
We need to do it more often. It seems like everybody's on that side. We'll have to spread out. Amen? Amen. Well, we just want to thank the Lord for a wonderful day, the beginning of Easter weekend, and it's so great to be together. And we're looking forward to Sunday. He is risen. Amen? Amen. Christ is risen. So, Father, we just thank you for each and every person that came out today, Lord God. Father, we just ask your blessing upon each and every one of them. We ask, Lord God, that you would shine your light among us, upon us, and that we would go out into the world, into our city, Lord God, with the light of Jesus just beaming from us. We just ask, Lord, that as we go our separate ways, Lord God, that we're not separated, that we're united in spirit and in truth, and in our hearts are mended together, Lord God, because a three-chord strand is so much more powerful than just being by yourself. So, Lord, I thank you. I just thank you, Lord God, for strength in power, strength in numbers, strength in unity. In Jesus' name we pray. And have a merry or happy Easter. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless. Have an awesome weekend.